And now, the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. They've been doing music for 60 years. Jeff Hanna from the band will be calling in to visit with me. Los Angeles country singer Rosie Nolan is on the program. Rosie's got a punk heart, and she's going to be talking about the songwriting process. And did you know that I am a director of a play? Well, I am. It's called Deadline. It's sort of a mystery comedy murder, kind of a little Clue and kind of a little Murder, She Wrote. I'll be visiting with the Sacred Heart Drama Club about that play and about yours truly. It's the Great American Folk Show. Thank you for joining us today. It's great to have you along. I want to start today with a 78 recording from the Joe Bassard Library, a musicologist and archivist from Maryland who passed away in 2022. In the world of folk, Joe is way up there. He's collected old records, some of them so completely rare and priceless, they're worth tens of thousands of dollars. His entire library, get this, 15,000 records, has been recently donated to UCSB Libraries Special Research Collection for Preservation. And the one that I've chosen for you this morning, it's been recently digitized. It's called California Desert Blues. It was recorded in 1936 by Lane Hardin, who only recorded two songs, so finding an actual physical copy of this record would be a very rare thing. That was an old 1930s recording by Lane Hardin. I hope you enjoyed that. It's called California Desert Blues. It's from musicologist Joe Bassard's personal library of 15,000 records, which will soon be digitized and available to all at UCSB's Discography of American Historical Recordings. Well, not only was Joe Bassard a great collector of records, he had one of the most impressive libraries anywhere in the entire world I'm talking about. But he also sang and performed, and I want to shine the light on him now. I think you'll enjoy this. This is his version of an old-time song entitled Guitar Rag. It's the Great American Folk Show. My father-in-law, Tom Davenport, is a retired teacher from Salt Lake City who also plays the guitar and sings, though not as much anymore due to old age and stiff hands. We have his classical guitar in my household. It is a real treasure, Austrian made by Oscar Teller and a beautiful sounding instrument. On a recent visit, he shared a live recording with a good friend, billed as Davenport in Brown from 1975. That was back before he and Ruth Ann, my mother-in-law, started their family. They'd go on to have 6 kids and now have 15 grandchildren. Well, the recording is in mono, and in some areas it skips like an old record, but it does exist. And I'm so thankful for that. These things are priceless to a family. But beyond heirloom appeal, there's historical significance to the recording, so I thought I'd share with you a couple of tracks. Davenport and Brown with a popular dueling banjos song. Davenport is Tom Davenport, my father-in-law. And Brown is Richard Dick Brown, also a natural-born musician from Utah. The recording is from a 1975 concert at BYU. And I think the two made a great duo because they fit the classic mold of tight harmonies and complementary guitar styles and breadth of the pop catalog, and humor was injected between songs. Add to this, they were both tall, and slender with red hair, striking figures to say the least. They looked like brothers.
You know, here we've been singing for you now for an hour and you don't know a thing about us. So I thought I'd start out by giving you some intimate personal details in the life of my partner, Dick Brown.
Before they became singing pals, Dick Brown was a member of the Young Americans, a large ensemble that toured with Johnny Mathis. And another member of that group was a young girl named Vicki Lawrence, who gained fame on The Carol Burnett Show and later starred as Thelma Mama Harper in the hit TV series Mama's Family. Dick's friendship with her could have helped him pursue his own Hollywood career, but he chose to marry a local girl, raise a talented family, and pursue a career as artist and creative director in one of Salt Lake's premier advertising agencies. But I am amazed at the talent these two had and what fun they brought out in each other. I wish I could play the entire concert, but a few snippets will have to do. I'm impressed at the class act they were and how the audience at BYU just totally embraced them. If they'd stuck with it, perhaps Davenport and Brown would have been a big deal, but both settled down happily to family and careers. They remain good friends. We'll end with Davenport and Brown singing the love song, "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face," from the BYU concert, and a more recent and particularly poignant recording Dick Brown, doing both harmony and instrumentation, made for his wife, knowing that he was losing his 50-year battle with MS, "The Far Side Banks of Jordan."
The first time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moons were the gift you gave to the dark and the empty skies, my love, to the dark and the empty skies. The first time ever I kissed your lips, your heartbeat close to mine, like the trembling heart of a captive bird that was there at my command, my love, that was there at the first time I held you near and felt the earth move in my arms. I felt a joy that would fill the earth and last till the end of time, my love, till the end of time.
I believe my steps are growing wearier each day. Still I've got a journey on my mind. Lures of this old world have ceased to make me want to stay, but my one regret is leaving you behind. If it should prove to be his will that I am first to go, and somehow I have a feeling it will be,
Good to have you here. This is the Great American Folk Show, and my name is Tom Brousseau, and we're going to continue with great voices. Rosie Nolan is a country artist who has lived in New York City, in Los Angeles, and now she's in the midst of moving to Nashville, Tennessee. Takes a lot of energy to make an abode in any one of these locations alone, but all three. I mean, this is the life of a musician. Rosie is determined and skilled. She's a little 1940s country mixed in with punk. And on her new album, there is no doubt she is the main attraction. It's Rosie Nolan on the Great American Folk Show.
Soaking up the sun, having some fun out there on the vine. You brought flowers to my door. I'm closing now on the floor. But those roses, they turn brown, their heads hanging down.
American Folk Show listeners, this is Rosie Nolan, and I'm here to talk to you about my new record, Main Attraction. I like to say it's old-time country with a riot girl heart. I'll be frank with you, a lot of these songs are about one particular relationship I was in over the past 4 years. One filled with insatiable lust, great sorrow, and much regret. Writing songs has always been a form of deep self-reflection for me. Oftentimes, my songs predict the future of a situation long before I become privy to it. It's where I win arguments I didn't have the right words for in the moment. It's where I confess all my unsightly contradictions. And it's where I release my shame. The songs on Main Attraction question the romanticization of romance, the bad deals we make when we're in love, and they delve into the painful ironies of dating in the 21st century. Right now, I'm in Los Angeles, surrounded by boxes as I gear up to move to Nashville on Sunday. I've sold, donated, and thrown away the vast majority of my belongings, aside from my favorite instruments, one box of clothes, and some old photographs. The last time I put out a full-length record, I was doing much of the same thing, although that time I was leaving a different lover and a different town, New York City. This time, I'd like to think I'm not running from the dashed hopes and painful mistakes of my past, but running toward a deeper sense of self and a greater freedom. Los Angeles has served me well for a long time. I got sober here, found a union job in film production, and nestled into the old-time and country music communities quite nicely. I honed my skills as a songwriter, guitar player, clawhammer banjo player, and I learned to sing harmony. I even fiddled around with a fiddle. I found a way to merge my love for 90s riot girl music with old-time and early country music from the 1920s through the 40s, and to write songs that carry the punk rock spirit of all those genres. But now, with joblessness, the economy tanking, and a general lack of opportunity in this town, it seems my time in Los Angeles has come to a close. Releasing a record is more than just delivering a product. It's an act of letting go and surrendering. I'm proud of the work I've done. I've given it everything I have and everything I am. All my time, my money, and my spirit. I'm grateful for the people who came into my life during the process of making this record. Whether they were encouraging me or criticizing me, they taught me to advocate for myself and my vision. These songs remind me that I'm never alone, even at my loneliest. And I hope you know that goes for you too. Hello, I'm recording this live at the Buckeye Motor Hotel in Arizona on my way to Nashville. The song is called Coming to See You. Get up and go. These muscles are sore. The cold is frozen. The morning dew. The icicles crack. And the roads are so black. But I'm coming to see you. There's change. Chains of desire pulling me closer and closer to you. Cold hands, warm heart, and the truck barely starts. But I'm coming to see you. I heard there's a storm on the way. Feeling tell you, I know I did it wrong. I turned my back when you were gone. Now I'm coming to see you. I heard there's a storm on the way. Feeling scared with all shades of gray. I heard there's storm on the way.
fresh soil, tears soaked. The lupines a drag, the corner blue. Well, they said to move on, get on track as you were gone. And I told them I'm coming to see you. Storm on the
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at MinnKota.com. The Great American Folk Show. My name is Tom Brusso. It's great to have you along for the show today. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band is celebrating 60 years. 60 years. That's over half a century. They started out as a jug band in the 1960s, back when the folk revival was happening. You know, that movement music when we picked the fruit of the tree of traditional tunes and made a new kind of fruitcake with it. During this time, the Kingston Trio reigned supreme, and Phil Oakes and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and of course, the Smothers Brothers. The Dirt Band, as they've been known to call, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, was also part of that movement, and in the 1960s, they released a few records that rode that kind of a tide. But as they became a more cohesive band, they really came into their own. And in 1972, they contributed to the new annals of folk with an album called Will the Circle Be Unbroken?
There's a dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may be.
It featured past all-stars such as Vassar Clemens, great fiddler, banjoist Earl Scruggs, and the queen of it all, Maybelle Carter, as well as Roy Acuff, and newcomers like Randy Scruggs and guitarist Norman Blake, who played on some Bob Dylan records. And if you ever did see that movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Well then, Norman Blake's all over that record. And singer-songwriter Jeff Hanna, from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, who is our guest today. Well, the Dirt Band recorded another two volumes of Will the Circle Be Unbroken in subsequent years, and then Fishing in the Dark launched them into the collective memory of the entire world. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band has released new music this year, an EP produced by dobro player extraordinaire Jerry Douglas, and they've been on the road supporting it for the last year. But the irony is, the tour is their farewell tour. They are retiring. I want to spin their latest single, Night After Night, and then Jeff Hanna from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band will be joining us. Because I just have to know from him, I have to hear from him, is it really true? Is the Dirt Band really retiring?
night after night since you've been gone. I'll awake until the dawn, wishing I could hold you tight. My heart is aching night after night, night after night. It's just the same. I reach for you and call your name. I close my eyes till the morning light. Oh, how I need you night after night. Day after day, it hurts so deep. You went away, and I can't even cry myself to sleep. Night after night, the stars above don't seem to know I've lost your love. That old moon don't shine so bright. It's cold and lonely night after night.
Jeff Hanna, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you on the Great American Folk Show.
Glad to be here. Nice to be talking to you, Tom.
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band turned 60, and to celebrate, you've released new music, Night After Night, a five-song EP. But then it's bittersweet because this is also a farewell. You've been on the road since last year saying goodbye. You've even stopped in North Dakota, where we're broadcasting. And how's it all been going for you? And is this really the end?
Well, I mean, to be specific, you know, and we said this from the beginning, this is the end of touring and doing one-nighters 100 plus dates a year on the bus. You know, we've been doing this since, well, you know, we started in 66, but we really, really got out on the road in the late 60s, you know, touring all over America, the world eventually. You know, we're just kind of wanting to kind of spend a bit more time with our families and sort of quit while we're ahead in terms of our personal health. Everybody's doing pretty darn good. And I feel like in a lot of ways we're at the top of our game, but it's physically grueling and we're grateful. It's been a wonderful job, a great ride for us. But yeah, we're gonna take a solid break. And, you know, in the future, hopefully we'll do some more recording and hopefully there'll be occasional, you know, the occasional one-off, maybe a festival or a residency somewhere.
Your son, Jamie, a great player, great singer, also great songwriter. At least one of the tracks on the new EP was co-written with him, Nashville Skyline, which is a beauty. Definitely, he's received some of those tips probably from his old man.
Same old song, been way too gone.
Well, you know, he's definitely carved his own path. But, you know, the first thing I said to him was like, no, don't get in music. But he's so good at it. He's been a musician since he was a kid. He became friends with Raul Malo from the Mavericks. And they started writing songs together. And Jamie ended up playing in the Mavericks for several years, which was really great. One of my all-time favorite bands, I got to add.
Call my attention and you-
And that was terrific. And it was great. It was great for him being on the road. He toured all over the world with those guys. And Raul taught him a lot about singing harmony as well.
Getting back to this beautiful EP and some of the songs co-written, you know, with your son Jamie, it's an EP. It's only five songs. And I think it's the only five-song catalog EP to the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's catalog.
It is 100%. You're correct. We've never done one. In fact, Jerry Douglas, who produced the record, you know, Jerry's got quite the resume as well. If you're a bluegrass fan, Jerry is arguably the greatest dobro player ever, you know.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, I know. He's easy. And a great guy. Jerry and I have been friends since the mid-80s. So the reason that it's an EP is just a matter of, like, our schedules. We played a lot of shows last year. And Jerry jumped right back into, you know, Alison Krauss and Union Station, got back together for the first time in several years, made an album, and just hit the road hard. And they're going to be doing the same thing next year.
A role model, a hero of my youth, a man of three chords and the truth.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Great American Folk Show. We're talking with Jeff Hanna of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Well, I mean, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band to begin with is so eclectic, and how you've evolved over the years, over the past 60 years, from psychedelic folk to country with, you know, electric guitar and P bass, to this an extraordinary thing that you did in 1972 with Will the Circle Be Unbroken, where you're kind of melding, you know, past all-star folk and bluegrass people with the new people coming up. How is it that you can consider yourself just one part of anything, like just musician or just songwriter?
Wearing a lot of hats is, you know, kind of essential, as it turns out. But when we started, we were just a bunch of guys that really, I mean, most of us had siblings or older friends when we were kids that, you know, had Elvis Presley records and Buddy Holly records, Everly Brothers records. So that was like, even before I ever owned an instrument, I was kind of drawn to that. And then by the early 60s, along came, you know, the folk boom. You know, with commercial artists, folks that had massive airplay on pop radio, like Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary, my older brother Mike brought home the first Kingston Trio record. That kind of blew my mind. Greenback Dollar and Tom Dooley and those records. I love that stuff. The sound of an acoustic guitar. And then Peter, Paul, and Mary's later on. And of course, you know, they had that song. It was written by that guy, Bob Dylan. You know, who's that guy?
We're visiting with Jeff Hanna of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, who's celebrating 60 years in a new EP. It's called Night After Night. It's a gorgeous set of five songs. And while the single is catchy and hot, Night After Night, it's called, very radio-friendly, I think my favorite is If You Hang Around Long Enough. And I have to admit, Jeff, that is the first song I went to right away in order to see if I could glean a little insider's info on the staying power of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And these lines pop up, hard working and being lucky. And I'm wondering if that just doesn't sum up the last 60 years of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You never take it for granted, you know. But I think the hard work is your backup when the luck's not working. So, you know, I didn't even intend to be a musician when I was a kid. You know, I figured, I don't know, I was good in English class. I figured maybe I'd be a teacher. And that didn't work out because we were playing our first shows in the middle of my second semester of junior college. So, you know, I was fortunate to have find a way to avoid working, as they say. You know.
Well, Jeff Hanna, thank you so much for visiting with us today on the Great American Folk Show. We absolutely love the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band here. Our listeners love the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. We thank you so much for being on the program.
Tom, been great talking to you, man.
Up all my second chances, squandered love on brief romances. kind of thing a young man dances with when he's a dancer. The highway's long but seldom wide enough to let life pass you by. It catches up with you in time, won't take no for an answer. You run wide open all these years, spinning wheels and stripping gears. It's a cold and empty house in your headlights. The silence can be deafening sometimes, and I'm making peace with all this peace and quiet. Woke up with the morning raining down upon my window pane, in perfect harmony with faded love. You won't catch me complaining. Had a lot of things worth doing, search for life beneath these ruins. There's nothing left of me and you that I'd consider saving. Watch these movies in my bed, rewrite the endings in my head. But shadow boxing ain't no kind of fight. Let the credits roll, turn out the lights. I'm making peace with all this peace and quiet.
This year, I was asked to be the drama teacher at Sacred Heart School in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. I was flattered to get that request. Immediately, I said yes, but then deep down, I wondered whether I would be a good candidate. So often, I say yes first and then figure out later whether I should. Well, in Los Angeles, California, where I lived for many years, I got used to being a stage performer. And while to me, a stage performer meant being in music, I believe that being an actor isn't very different. I've been a student of actors and actresses, a lover of hanging in the wings of theaters and seeing all the mechanisms transform an otherwise blank stage into a scene of majestic awe. I've always loved reading plays. Love the smell of popcorn in the theater and hearing an audience laugh together. However, on a resume, I've had no formal education outside of Jabberwock, the only play I was ever in, at Red River High School in Grand Forks, North Dakota in the 1990s. But being a director, I've learned, is so much fun. It's a lot of work, but it's so much fun. You get to hang around budding new talent and bring a creative vision to life, work in a team, and race against the deadline. In fact, that's the name of the play that I'm directing. It's called Deadline. It's sort of a whodunit in two acts. Oh, but instead of my going on about it, I thought it would be more fun to interview the current presidents of the Sacred Heart Drama Club, seniors Kayla and Sophie and junior Leah, to see what they have to say about it. You're too dramatic. Welcome to the Great American Folk Show, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. B.
Let's just do a little around the circle here and tell the listeners how long it is that you've been in theater. Maybe we can start with Leah first. And what you find so fascinating about theater.
Well, I've been in theater since 7th grade, so 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 5 years so far. And I think what stuck out to me, well, the first time that I knew that I wanted to be in theater, like, for the rest of my high school career was the first show I was in was Into the Woods in 7th grade. And I didn't have, like, a giant part or anything, but I remember going out for bows and just, like, just feeling so accomplished. I feel like that was really, like, God telling me that was what I was meant to do. Like, that, I had never felt that feeling before. And it, I don't know, I just felt called to do it. So I've continued doing it ever since. Theater just has become such a place where I can really be myself. And everyone that I've met from theater has just become the people that understand me the deepest, like, they understand my soul and my hopes and dreams. So that's why I love theater so much.
And how about Kayla and Sophie? This is your senior year.
Oh, yes, it is.
This is your last fall time play that you're going to do.
Don't remind me.
Kayla, let's start with you first.
This is my 6th year in drama. I've also been in it since I was in 7th grade. Sophie's the same.
Yeah, I've also been doing it for 6 years. Did it, my parents were also very big in theater and stuff like that. They used to do stuff at like Fire Hall and stuff. They put me into probably programs since I was like in 3rd grade, so I've been doing stuff over there, and then it just became really big, like when I came to Sacred Heart, I think is when it really started happening.
You found your community here.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think the reason I kept coming back was the people we did it with. Acting is so unique, and you create such like unique bonds with the people you do it with. Like, it's not quite like sports. Like, it's a different level of like vulnerability acting with someone, and I think it's just like we have such a great group that it's so easy.
Right.
And it's become like all my favorite people.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Great American Folk Show. We're visiting with Leah and Kayla and Sophie. They're part of this year's drama, fall-time drama play at Sacred Heart School in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. And actually, I'm the director of that play, although I wouldn't call myself a director so much. This is my first time doing it. I feel more like a shepherd or somebody who's sort of in the background a little bit. It's called Deadline. It's a murder mystery comedy, kind of a whodunit in two acts. What is the most important part of the process of any play? You learn the lines, you have to build the set, you have to negotiate cues with the tech people, you have to figure out who's going to be in the role, what to wear, how much to charge, when you're going to do it, what the poster's going to look like, everything. There's so many things. Is there any one part that's more important, or what's the overall message?
I think the most important part is, first of all, just like being sound in yourself as an actor and like being confident in yourself. And I feel like another really important part is trust. I think part of the like skill of acting is being able to trust other people, like that they'll remember their lines and that tech will do their cues. And I think that's the most important part. I think a show really comes together when everyone clicks and trusts each other, and it's just,
yeah,
like, you don't have any second doubts. Could we ask you a couple questions, Mr. B?
You want to ask me a couple questions?
Oh, yes, we do.
Yes.
Sorry, hold on a second here. Let me just wipe my palms. I'm all getting kind of sweaty. Okay, yes. All right, we'll turn the table.
Okay, well, I guess our first question for you is, have you ever been in a show before, and what was your experience with it?
I've been in many shows. Mm-hmm. And I've been a part of ensembles and a part of kind of like a cameo here and there. But in terms of like being in a play, I was in high school just one time. I think I want to say yes, but I know it's only because in my head I have lived out this fantasy of being on the stage and being able to deliver great lines, being a villain, even being a person who's really great at running tech and running sound, and being the person who specializes in even putting like puffs of fog out onto the stage, all of these crucial things that I love so much about theater. I love theater. No, I've not really ever been in any place before. No.
What are probably the biggest challenges of directing, but what also makes it like worth it for you?
Oh, the worth it part is I get to learn from people like I've learned from you three. The biggest challenge is I'm such a more of an island kind of a person. And so even if I knew all of the lingo when it comes to stage,
I still don't know if I would necessarily inject my opinion so much, because I just love to see what happens when people are doing things, and to see people make missteps, but then be able to correct those missteps and find other ways to do it, but they do it on their own. I think sometimes as teachers or directors, we want to step in right way and correct, when I think a lot of the times, if you just wait like another half a minute or a minute, something really cool and magical can happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably more of that kind of a person, just to wait for the magic moments.
I was wondering who you look up to in acting.
There are a lot of people I look up to. One of my favorite actors is Denzel Washington.
Oh,
love Denzel Washington. There's just something so intense about him. Mm-hmm. I love Tilda Swinton, who's just a very unique character. I love the characters of old, the actors of old. I really admire Kim Novak's acting. There are so many. And probably in my life, I think that a lot of who I am is because of my parents, but then I think most of what I am is because of the people that I've looked up to, and a lot of these people are actors and actresses. Mm. And that's been my visit here at Sacred Heart School in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. The esteemed presidents of the Sacred Heart Drama Club, that's Junior Leah, and our seniors here, Kayla and Sophie, thank you so much for being on the Great American Folk Show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Yes,
thank you. And when is this great play going to happen?
Deadline at Sacred Heart is on November 20th and 21st at 7 p.m. and the 22nd at 2 p.m.
Be there or be square. Please cut that out.
Leave it.
I was meant for the stage. I was meant for the curtain. I was meant to tread these boards of this much I am certain.
Well, howdy. You are listening to the Great American Folk Show with Tom Brousseau. I'm producer Eric Deatherage stepping in for just a second. Now, if you were listening earlier, I hope you were, because you would have caught Tom's excellent conversation with Jeff Hanna of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, now going 60 years strong. Well, Jeff mentioned that his son was kind of mentored and taken in by Raul Malo, the frontman of the Mavericks. So we're going to do a little spotlight on Raul right now, and for very good reason. Well, for me, it all started with a cover of a Bruce Springsteen song.
I got a dollar in my pocket.
I was like, great band, nice cover, but who is that vocalist? What freaking pipes he's got? It wasn't long after that my radio boss at the time, Into the Music maestro Mike Olson, and I attended what we both agree was one of the best shows we've ever taken in. Junior Brown, the Get Steel guitar player who was opening, and headliners the Mavericks. The Grammy-winning Miami band's brand of what they called Martini Country, which shakes and stirs 1950s pop, classic country, a whole lot of horns, and Tejano music, blew the roof off the Chester Fritz that night.
All you ever do is bring me down, making me a fool all over town.
Now, if you've ever seen the Mavericks, you know this. They are a special band live, and they've come to North Dakota plenty of times. They sound clear as a bell. Every instrument, every note rings out perfectly, night after night, whether packing an arena or playing an outdoor festival stage or an intimate venue, doesn't matter. They play it just as hard as if it were their last show. And speaking of that, conjuring the ghost of Roy Orbison is one giant presence on that stage. Of course, that is vocalist Raul Malo. Raul has had a very fine solo career outside the Mavericks as well, but his passion has always been bringing music to happy people as the leader of just one of the most positive forces and best live bands in roots rock music. You can see that positivity on full display, not only on stage, but on the Mavericks social media channel, where the band announced just a few months back that their tour at the time actually had to be canceled. You may have heard that Raul is suffering from leptomeningeal disease, an incurable cancer of membranes that surround the brain and spinal cord. Raul is in stage 4 right now, but he is getting treatment at a renowned cancer facility in Houston. His spirits are up, he's battling it hard, but you can certainly see that it has taken its toll on his physical body, but you just can't keep Raul Malo away from music. That's part of his healing journey. Yeah, cancer sucks, doesn't it? We wish Raul Malo, one of the giants in roots country music and one of the greatest vocalists of all time, all the best.
And that's our show for today. I'm so glad to have you along for the ride. I hope you enjoyed it. I'd like to thank you for listening, and we'd like to thank our guests, the Sacred Heart Drama Club. That was actresses Sophie, Kayla, and Leah. We started off today's program with a tune from the collection of Joe Bassard, and then Joe Bassard played tune 2. Davenport and Brown, Jeff Hanna of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. How much fun was that? And singer-songwriter Rosie Nolan. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. And theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is the talent producer. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. Eric Dethridge is the producer and editor. My name is Tom Brousseau. May you always find that lucky old sun. Until we meet again.